The Boom Bap Hour, and I'm your host, Ruby V. And I am here with the man of the hour, RL from Next.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, always representing for the 612 North Side, of course.
Always.
But international, all over the world. Do you hear me? Don't sleep. So how you doing today?
You know, I've been good. Of course, I watched my Vikings play. We pulled it out. Besides that, I've just been like cleaning up around the house, just getting ready for the week. Was in the studio a little bit, worked out my usual regimen. I'm kind of on like a schedule every day because I want to keep everything in order. So I'm pretty simple.
Nice. You know, I was checking out your social media. So what you do, the Peloton?
I do the Peloton, and I just I'm waiting for them to deliver the Peloton treadmill. I got it for my anniversary, so I'm waiting on that. So I'm just really big on trying to take care of myself and try to age gracefully. You know what I mean?
You're not lying. I'm trying to tell you. Started off doing a little cooking today, you know, trying to change lifestyle for, you know, the family, do a little vegan cooking. And
okay.
Guess what came on? Too close. I'm like, hey.
Okay.
Dancing in the kitchen like, okay. Yes, but straight up though, y'all always have been like, you know, one of my favorite groups. You know, I seen y'all come up. I mean, of course,
yeah, you have
known you for a long time. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna be honest. You know, a lot of people hit me about, you know, doing interviews and things like that. But when it was you, it was like, I gotta do it. A lot of times I'd be like, well, you know, tip my manager, I do this. I was like, yo, just let me know what you want to do. It's different when it's family, you know, familiarity and familiar faces. And it's like comfort, you know what I'm saying? So this is more like a conversation more than anything. It's not like an interview. It's just, you know, chopping it up like we're sitting on the porch somewhere, you know what I mean? So it's super cool.
It's super cool, man. I mean, I'm trying to tell you, I mean, like North High, you went there for a minute. So we alumni, you feel what I'm saying?
Most definitely. I never wanted to leave. My dad is from the South Side, so we moved. And I think that's where my teenage years kind of went off track, because I suffered from depression a lot. And I think part of it was moving to a new place around people I didn't know, that didn't love me and didn't really understand me. So, you know, I got love for the South Side, but it's NFL for life. You already know.
NFL for life, you already know. Yes, absolutely. I have a memory of you, like, I think like on the bus, and you
probably
was leaving off the bus. I was with my home girl, Melody. Shout out Melody. Do you remember her? And you sang from the at the top of your lungs off the bus. I'm like, well, if you don't know who this man gonna be, you might want to know. You don't know, now you know. Y'all was straightforward at that time.
Yes. And we would just had a dream and were just hoping to represent the city and be another part of the long lineage of great artists that came out of the city. So, you know, we feel like we've done, you know, our part. We're proud of that. You know, I'm the only one from the city, but my brothers, they represent St. Paul. They're really from Gary, Indiana, but we've been repping Minnesota since the beginning. So it's been a great ride.
You get a chance to hang out with the guys, with T-Lo and
Tweet. Yeah, we're on the road, you know, quite a bit. And it's always fun when you get to run into like Stokely on the road, or, you know, sometimes, mostly on Clubhouse, I ran into Jimmy and Terry. And it's been super cool to just have that family feeling of coming from the same place. So the same feeling I got right now, though, you know what I mean? So it's rare. Like, even here, they have like a Vikings group, fans. And so every Sunday, usually if I'm here lately, because I never leave the house, I'll try to go and watch the game at this spot where it's nothing but Vikings fans, because it gives me that feeling at home. So
in ATL, right?
Uh-huh.
So when I was at ATL, I needed to find that spot, because I came with my Viking stuff on and I was like the only person. And I'm like, nobody loves me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not getting any love. I'm not feeling the love. But yeah, I feel you. So let's start it off with a couple of icebreaker questions. You game? You down for some fun?
I'm down. Let's get it.
Okay. What is one thing that people would never guess about you?
I mean, certain people know me, but I don't have a lot of friends. Probably I'm nervous around people. I mean, you know, people always say stuff like, I don't care if who likes me or who don't like me. In a sense, I kind of always have. I want, not necessarily I want to be fake and I want everybody to be my friend, but I want to be likable. I want to be nice to people. So probably my low self-esteem and dealing with people, I think that, you know, people, they try to hide behind things. So I'll be quiet and people will take that as me being standoffish or rude. But the truth is I'm just super insecure about certain things and uncomfortable. And I think that the hard part is with the success that we've had, people will say stuff like, well, I'm not going to compliment him or say something nice because I'm sure he hears it all the time. Well, I don't because I'm not around people. And wow. Yeah, so that kind of plays into the never getting complimented or never hearing something positive about yourself. It's different when you know, in the media or people that don't know you per se, but the people that know you or from where you're from and have been through what you've been through or seen what you've been through, it's a little different when they show you love. So I think that's probably one of the things that people don't know about me.
Well, I'm definitely going to give you your flowers.
Thank you.
Definitely think you're just an awesome, awesome singer. I mean, literally one of the best singers I've ever heard. Wow.
Thank you.
Yes. What else? What is one movie that you could quote from start to finish, like every word?
Five Heartbeats.
Oh, yes.
That's my favorite. Five Heartbeats is my favorite movie. So, yeah.
Oh man, yes, I love the Five Heartbeats. I'm trying to tell you, man, they had this one TikTok where they were doing the one where they came to Jimmy's funeral when Big Red came down the aisle, and you know she just slapped. It was like, how dare you?
That man, that movie, like that sums up my childhood, watching that, dreaming, okay, one day I could be, you know, what was it? There's like, what do you say? If y'all singing group, then sing something. Like that whole, like, I remember just like watching that movie going, one day I'm going to be that guy on the road. And I was able to meet Robert Townsend and his daughter. And of course, Peter and Cynthia were my neighbors from Housewives, so Leon would be around, and I was able to meet him from Five Heartbeats, and he was super cool, and I would always quote the movie to him. So yeah, Five Heartbeats is, that's probably the movie.
Yeah, that's my jam. I'm trying to tell you, I love me some Five Heartbeats too. Yes, and the Temptations, like both of them, if they own, I gots to watch it.
But you know, my biggest thing is people try to say the Temptations is as good as the Five Heartbeats. The only reason I don't think it could be was because the Temptations was made for TV, so it really couldn't be cursing and all that. You know what I'm saying? So there were probably things that were probably a lot more X-rated and things like that they couldn't tell the story on. Where with the Five Heartbeats, it was cursing. It was, you know, I gotta fight every night just to prove my love. So it was a little different. So yeah.
Yes, well, that's dope. You know, Tasha Boobie says a lot about you, you know, the things that you like, you know what I mean? Yes, so I see you doing a whole lot of shows. Like you say you got a show, either was it last night or no, you say you got one.
Yeah, no, I had one last night. I have a lot of different things. Sometimes it's private, sometimes it's corporate, sometimes it's touring, being able to write for other people. I'm on the road doing that. You know, we're getting ready to go to London. I'm a peace ambassador for Liberia. I was able to go over there and meet the prime minister and perform over there with Akon and stuff like that. It's just music has taken me so many different places I never thought I would go. So, you know, being on the road, you know, for me, luckily, you know, with the pandemic that hit, and, you know, it's really sad with a lot of things that has happened, you know, in the world, but I never stopped working. And the blessings that I always was able to thank God for was my discography and the fact that I wrote a lot of records for different people. So my lifestyle wasn't predicated on going on the road. So I missed the road because of the camaraderie and being around my group members and other artists. Like there's certain artists that were on the road with that I consider friends or like family to me. So that was more for me. That was more what I missed. It wasn't necessarily the financial aspects, even though of course that's always gonna be good. Being able to be around like-minded individuals that have the same passions and love for music that, you know, I do.
Yes. And I'm like, you know, for some people, I don't even know. I'm like, reading? Like, you done wrote for Luther.
Yeah.
You done wrote, I mean, hold on. I got your list right here. Okay, you got but Carpy Brown. Oh, that was one of my favorite groups too. One of my favorites, I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Don't stop till you ate. Baby, do your thing. Usher, Jamie Foxx, Keep Sweat. I mean, the list goes on. Like, do you enjoy songwriting as much as you do singing?
Yes and no, because it's always fun to see how someone's going to take your art and present it to the world. But then at the same time, the artist in me feels like nobody can do my art like I can. But some of my favorite records I've written for other people. It's funny because I remember when I did Forecast for Jamie, and Jamie had taken me to like Will Smith's house and stuff for Super Bowl. We'd hung out in LA quite a bit. And I really love his whole persona and who he is and how he gets down. And so I remember I would listen to his project, his first album, and I would go, he's a comedian and he's an actor, so he emulates people. So he's dope at emulating other artists. But yeah, he's a dope artist himself. He just doesn't know it. So when I was able to write the record for him, I did it for him. Like, this is, I've heard you sing in the studio hanging out. This is really you. And I would always try to sneak in things for home. So if you listen to the beginning of Forecast, the weatherman goes, Minneapolis. So hey, people don't even realize it, but I was trying to, you know, represent a little bit. But I love performing, but the thing about writing is you can't sing every song, you know. Yeah. And being able to give other talented individuals records is such a blessing. I know that when we perform, a lot of times, a lot of people in the audience be like, man, why are you singing such and such song? They don't realize, because during our shows, I'll sing like sometimes the Jaheim records, the Ideal record that I wrote, stuff like that. We'll add songs. I stole that from Babyface, because you would go to his concert. Here he comes out with End of the Road. You're like, wait a minute, that's Boyz II Men. And they're like, no, that's his record. You know what I mean? So he would sing records he wrote for other people. So I got the guys to start doing that on our shows to add some, you know, some fun. So it's I love them both. I think to survive, if I hadn't been a writer, the way this industry goes, I don't know if I would have survived like I have. But there's nothing like singing. There's nothing like taking the mic, singing a few words, taking the mic, pointing to the audience, and then finishing the words for you. That's like the best feeling in the world. That's like the best feeling.
That is so awesome. I wish I could sing. I'm like, it just missed me. I'm the person in the background. I was in the background in the choir, but I'm not lead. Don't ask. I'm good. Oh, man. So you, man, I thought this was fire. Like, you have a song out called Karma with, I mean, like, all y'all. It's like, heavy hitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donnell Jones, Carl Thomas, Dave Hollister.
Jacquees, yeah.
Jacquees.
Yeah.
What's that like? What was that like putting that together?
So Donnell, we were in Africa together, and we were in Nigeria together a few years back, and I've always respected him. I have a different view of artists that I listened to before I made it. I love all artists because I know how hard it is, but I can remember riding my bike with my CD player listening to Donnell Jones' first album. This is for my Players in the Hood, or, you know, Dave Hollister and people like that. Like Carl and me, we came out close to the same time. But Donnell invited me to Chicago, because that's where they're from, to being just a cameo in his video. So I was like, cool, you know, I'll do it. So I was out there and I heard the record and I liked it, but I felt it kind of sounded really mature. And I know that Donnell got swag. You know, in our community, we're the only community that looks at 40 and, you know, mid 40s is old. Every other community, there's people having kids at 50 in other communities, you know what I'm saying? But for some reason, they try to say, okay, you're done now. You know, you've hit 40, it's over. And I felt like he's still young and vibrant. I wanted to give him a spin on his record, but with a little more hood, you know what I'm saying? A little north side. So I literally landed from his shoot home, went in my studio and produced and wrote the remix for his record. And I wanted to do, and I hate saying this name, but I got to, because I wanted to do a remix like R. Kelly would have done a remix. Like, it's a whole different song. Like, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of people get lazy with remixes and just add a feature, but it's the same beat, same words. I didn't want to do that. So I hadn't really started producing. I've always written, but I didn't start producing till the pandemic hit, because I got tired of waiting on people to send me tracks or finish up stuff. And my partner, who I write and produce with, his name is Brian B. Fly Cook. We had just did, we did Pull Up for Lil Duval. We wrote and produced that. And then we did the Jeezy featuring Demi Lovato and Lil Duval record called Good To Me. We flipped the SOS band. So he was busy with that. And I was like, I need tracks. So I just went to my studio and I started tinkering. And one of the first things I did was the Karma remix. So to be able to say I hadn't really ever produced before, like did the music, and I was able to go in and work with cats that I look up to where I was nervous and really conducted and say, okay, here's your part, do this and send it back to me. It was like the scariest but most fulfilling thing that has happened to me in my career. Because these are people I never thought I'd work with. These are people that I used to be like, one day I want to meet him, or one day I want to be able to be in the studio with him. And now I'm actually working on their project, because they got a group called The Shy. So I've been working on that with them.
That's so awesome. Well, look, if that was your first time producing, great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You killed it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. So when y'all first came out, so y'all was introduced to KG from Naughty by Nature, right? Uh-huh. So how did that even happen? Like, how did y'all wind up hooking up with that whole situation?
I want to give K his credit, but we were discovered by Lance and Prof T from the group Low Key. I was a senior in high school, and they would sneak us out to flight time. And like literally, I would get out of school, go home, do my chores, you know, maybe watch my little sister. But then late in the evenings, I'd have to change clothes and literally go in the studio and go to school from the studio. So we were recording demos there. And we were opening up for Aaliyah on Saturday at Glam Slam. But we had sound check. No, I'm sorry, Friday. But we had sound check early that day, and the guys were at the Mall of America getting wardrobe. They're running late. They're always late. But they ran into KG because Naughty by Nature had a show that Saturday at First Avenue. So they gave K our demo. We weren't even supposed to give it out. Well, they gave them the demo. I'm at the sound check with Aaliyah and everybody waiting for the guys to get there. They're running late. We do the show with Aaliyah that Friday night at Glam Slam. Saturday, we get an invite to the concert at First Ave. Well, what's funny is Brother Jules is a big KMOJ. Reason. Yeah, he's a big reason why we made it, because he was on the tour bus with KG, and K was asking him, you know, look, I'm about to restart my label. He had John A and Rotten Rascals, but he was restarting his label. And he was like, who's the hottest groups here? And our demo tape was sitting on the table. Brother Jules looked down and said, that's the hottest group in the state. K picks up the tape, puts it in his pocket. Literally weeks later, we were flown out to New York, literally straight off the flight with our JNCO jeans on and flip-flops and wrist to the Apollo. And there was a concert at the Apollo. It was the Lost Boys. It was like Biggie. It was all these different artists on this show. And they had the little church fans on each seat. And we picked up the church fan and said, Ill Town's Fat New Lineup. And it had all these groups and it said Straightforward. And we were like, huh? And the rest is history. It was God. It was just crazy. It was just like, I can't even explain. Even now thinking back, I got goosebumps, because who would have thought, you know what I'm saying? So it was really that fast. So credit goes to KG, but literally, it was a package deal, because K had to fly Lance and Prof T to Jersey with us. And they worked on the project with us. And like Butter Love, I wrote, of course, but it was produced by Lance and Prof T. We did like Cozy. We did a bunch of that records. The foundation of that first album was Lance and Prof.
Wow. That's so cool. I mean, God is good. I mean, like, for real. I mean, that's one of those amazing stories that just means that you're supposed to be doing exactly what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm serious. I remember I came down to Atlanta for college, and then one of my friends wrote me a letter, and they were like, "You heard that song, Butter Love?" It probably had to be like 96, 97. It was like, yeah, you know, the straight for you. Yeah, they made it. They'd have made it. I'm like, dang, that's so cool.
But look, I didn't think we made it. I didn't think we made it because my family had moved back to the Bay Area. So I stayed at KG's back house sleeping on an air mattress. So at the time, New York radio was playing Wu-Tang and Bad Boy. You wouldn't hear nothing else. So I thought, okay, time for me to get ready for college. I thought it was a wrap. And I went to the mall one day and some little like 5-year-old girl was singing Butter Love. In that moment, I knew we had made it. I didn't know everywhere else all over the country was playing it and it was climbing the charts. I had no idea. All I know is we had shot this video and I literally had to climb the Brooklyn Bridge. Like we really had to climb it. And I had a picnic up there with the girl from my scene. So I was up there the whole video shoot. So literally like the fire department had to bring me up and then the guys had to come up. I had to change clothes. I think I changed clothes up there because we have the scene where the helicopter flies by and it was the scariest thing ever. But when you're hungry, what? And listen, but when you're hungry, you know what I'm saying? And you first, if you asking me now, what if I had never done it, and they say, okay, we about to shoot this new video, we about to just climb, I'd have been like, I'm cool. But when you're young and hungry, you like, listen, what I need to do?
What so, I need to do, right?
So it was super like cool. Right, it was, but yeah, it's those kind of memories when we look back, and I remember being so frustrated because they used to try to dress us like As Yet, and I love As Yet, but they would, people thought we were older because they would put us in like the little French Connection slacks and all that. I'm like, man, if y'all don't get out of here. So, but man, Butter Love, when I was scared. I thought that nobody liked it. It came out. I wasn't hearing it on the radio and I just didn't know that every other place in the country was playing it.
Well, we heard it and I was in Atlanta. I was like, yeah, I heard it. I sure did. So yeah, y'all was everywhere, okay? For sure. Now, hold on. Wait. I got to ask you this. Wait. What was it like working with Tupac on Till the End of Time?
Okay. Well, by the time I was able to do the record, he was gone. But it was funny. I was in LA and I had just done the record for the Best Man soundtrack.
Okay.
The Good Love record and. Yeah, that is the Best Man because Brothers is Best Man. I get it mixed up. So I was out there, I was driving down like the 101 or something, and I get a call and they're like, "Do you know this song by Mr. Mister?" And I'm like, "No." They're like, "Well, go to the record store." That's how long ago that was. Go to the record store, get this record. You're gonna be in the studio tomorrow with Tone and Polk, and we need you to sing this hook. They literally had cameras in there, and I went and did the hook. And they taped at the same time. They were taping a little bit. And I was just like, what am I doing? How am I supposed to do this? Just sing it? So I just literally sung it as hard as I could. Nobody was in there vocal producing me. I was just scared. And I did it. And all of a sudden I get a call from Afeni Shakur. And she's asking me for my mother's address. And I'm like, uh-oh, did I do something wrong? What's going on? And she was like, what did she say? She said, what in the world, my phone? I'm trying to figure out who's calling me. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on in my house. There's like literally a message on my phone right now. But I get a call from, when something can go wrong, it will go wrong. But when I got a call from Afeni Shakur, she's asking me for my mother's address. And I'm like, why you want my mother's address? And the truth is she sent my mother some flowers. It was not even supposed to be a single. And it ended up being the first single. Like literally, I finished the record, they mixed it. 2 days later, I was driving down the street and it was on the Hot 8 at 8, like on Power 106 at the biggest radio station in LA. And the rest is history. Like, okay, we need you to shoot a video tomorrow. I'm like, wait, what? So I go in and they spliced it and made it look like we were, you know, in the studio together. But it's, like I said, God, how things just happen and you can't even explain it. I heard that Dave Hollister was supposed to originally be doing that because he's the one on Brenda's Got a Baby. People don't realize that's Dave Hollister. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And he's on, people don't know it's him. Matter of fact, no. Is it him on? No, that's Eric from Blackstreet, this Around the Way Girl for LL. People don't realize these artists that you hear years later were putting in work years before trying to get put on. and you don't even know that, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, for me, being able to do the record with Pac was, it wasn't supposed to be me. Just like wow. We Can't Be Friends. I just found out like a month ago, Montel, you know, Montel wrote We Can't Be Friends with Chef Crawford. And he's one of my favorite people in the world. And he was like, yeah, you know, that was supposed to be me, but Def Jam didn't clear me. I was like, wait, what? Thank God. You know what I mean? It's just these situations where God will put you in a position to succeed and give you opportunities. And I just run with them as much as I can.
Hey, well, keep running. Keep on that marathon. I'm trying to tell you. So out of all the songs that you've done, what's your favorite?
Ooh. To be honest, I have favorites for different reasons. I did a record called On the Floor for Keith Sweat. It's one of my favorites because I was able to work with Teddy Riley. But two of my favorites are probably, I did a record called Orchestra for Ginuwine and a record called I Could Change Your Life for Lloyd. That's probably my favorite, I Could Change Your Life. But then there is one more, man. There's a record that I did for Usher that didn't come out. He ended up putting it on his group. It's called Crazy. And it's probably my favorite record that no one's ever heard. I mean, it's like on YouTube, somebody hacked it and it's on there, but it's a group called One Chance. And there's a record I did on them called Crazy. So hands down, that's probably my favorite.
The one that no one's ever heard?
Yeah.
Well, we gotta hear it then, right? For real. Oh, man. Yes. So, you know, definitely. What's next coming up for you? I mean, like,
there's a few. It's funny because I'm working on The Shy. I was working on WQRL, which was supposed to be Wingo from Jagged Edge, Q Parker from 112, and myself. But because of politics, our brother Wingo had to step back and focus on JE. So me and Q are doing us. I came up with the name. It's called QR Code. You know what a QR code is, like when you. We're working on that. And what else? I'm doing the Next by Nature project because I didn't plan on doing any new Next music because we had done 80. I'd written and co-produced 80 new records for the guys. And Tweet decided that he wants to do more of edgy. He wants to do a little more like hip hop, which I respect. And I'm glad he kind of communicated that before we decided to put anything out, because if you're not totally into it, you know, I honestly feel like there's no way it can reach the success that it needs to. So, you know, I'll probably produce some stuff for him. I'm trying to get T-Lo to work on an album. I've been sending him records, trying to get him, because I think he's super underrated and super talented. And he taught me a lot of what I know. I'm actually working on my son's album. He raps. He can sing, but I think that he doesn't like the pressure of the comparison to me. Right. I think eventually he'll do that. He's been doing more hip hop. And it's actually, he's gotten really good because he's really dedicated. My thing is I'm kind of hands off because my daughter sings. And, you know, my wife will be like, you need to go in and put in the studio. I'm like, nope, because I want her to need to be in the studio so that when it feels like work, because it will, you won't hate it. And you'll appreciate it enough to keep going. Because if you get involved too early and it's given to you, you take it for granted and you can dislike it. And I don't want that to happen for her. So that, and again, the Next by Nature project, which is Naughty by Nature and us, it's kind of like us paying respect to those guys, because when KG hits me and asks me for anything, it's whatever. Like he asked me about it. I was like, you're not asking me, you're telling me, because I'm here without you. So the respect that I have for you, it's whatever you want to do. Because I hadn't planned on doing any new Next music as a group, but it's all in God's hands. So right now that we're touring, producing, like I said, for other artists. I got a record with Meg Thee Stallion. I don't know if it's going to come out. It's a bunch of stuff that I've just been really working on.
Okay. Well, look, anything you do, just let us know so that we can, you know, definitely let everybody know about it for sure.
Most definitely.
Now, speaking of hip hop and the things you're doing, like with Naughty by Nature, we always ask this question to all of our guests. And of course, this is a hip hop show. So what does hip hop mean to you? Like, how is it influencing your life?
Well, one of the things people don't know about me is I was a rapper first. I had a record deal for rapping before I did singing. So rapping was my passion. The only reason I chose singing was because there was a dude named David Hughes, rest in peace. I worked out of a studio called Fat Jams, South Minneapolis. And we were trying to decide, should I be a rapper or a singer? And he was like, you should be a rapper. And I could tell he doubted me as a singer. And he was a blower. And I was like, oh, really? I'm going to be a singer then. So I focused on singing. But for me, rap is a lot of my records, like I don't even write anymore. Like, and records like Too Close and Wifey were written in like 15, 20 minutes because I have a rapper's mindset. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on, I mean, you name it, but, you know, of course, Public Enemy and, you know, a lot of the West Coast, Easy, NWA. I've always liked the cadence of hip hop and the fact that they're like anthems. You know what I'm saying? Like I look at a group like Naughty by Nature and I feel like they're the most underrated rap group in history because every concert you go to, every arena you go to, hey, oh, you know, I always felt like Next was the R&B Naughty by Nature because they crossed over to where other cultures started to embrace them. And there, if you go to a concert for Naughty by Nature, it's going to be, it's a lot of other cultures there. Definitely. To where we don't appreciate a lot of that as much as we should. But I mean, Nas, you know, Biggie was my favorite, you know, sorry, Pac, rest in peace. I love you. But Big was my favorite. Big L, I was able to work with Pun. I love Pun. I just did a record on Noriega's last project. You know, I know he does Dream Champs and all that. So hip hop was my first love. It probably still is because something new comes out. Like when Nas came out with the new project, there's a few other, I love the Griselda camp. I love that.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
That gritty. Yes.
Yeah, Benny. I like that. Benny. My man got the really high voice, but I love Conway the Machine. He's probably my favorite rapper now. So okay. See, I'm listening to Conway, man, like that's my favorite. But hip hop is everything. I really think that's the sound of the streets, and that's, you know, that's where we're from. You know, we from the hood. You already know. We try to grow and try to, you know, mature, but we still want to get rowdy a little bit. We want to turn up that hip hop at the barbecue. You already know.
we your favorite cousin that just popped up. You know, you didn't know me before, but
right. I want to go to the roller gardens and I mean, we used to bought the EPMD would come on at the roller gardens, and it was over.
My heart's broken because the Roller Gardens is gone.
Yeah, I heard. But I can remember as a kid getting dropped off there with them little ugly brown skates, and all of a sudden EPMD would come on. Don't get too old because you might get all that. Man, we would be like, oh, we didn't know what. Man, what? And then to grow up and be able to work with Eric Sermon as well and do these different things, work with Snoop. So it's like, hip hop is everything, man. I don't even, sometimes I sit back and this is a conversation, I don't consider it an interview, but I'll do interviews and people will ask me to talk about myself, which I don't really do a lot. But when I do, I'll realize that I've experienced some things and I've met some people. And, you know, I forget that. I forget, you know, some of the things I was blessed to accomplish. And it's moments like these that remind me like, man, you know what? Because we always want more. Human nature is to always want more, but sometimes you have to sit back and realize all that you have done and appreciate it. So thank you.
That's what I'm here for, to, you know, help people just remember things about their lives and tell their story, you know?
Yeah.
We want you to get, that's why I say like one thing that, you know, people wouldn't guess about you, because, you know, you want to give another side to you that people may not see all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but everybody doesn't get that. Like a lot of, you know, we were media trained, so a lot of the conversations we have with interviews, you say the same answer in different ways. But because this is family and it's a conversation, I'm keeping it 100. It's not like, you know, and that's why sometimes it's taking me a second to answer, because I'm trained to answer in a certain way. But I'm not gonna do that right now. We cousins. I'm sitting here having a conversation. It's different. You know what I'm saying?
14th. So you used to be around 14th. I used to hang on 14th and Upton all the time. All right.
See you around there. I'm from 14th and Russell. So I had
14th to. 14th and Russell. I lived on the corner of 17th and Russell, right across from Willard. House right on the corner, right across from Willard. That's why I was on the corner of 17th and Russell. I don't know if you may remember. My dad had a golf thing right in the front yard. I do remember
because I used to be at Willard getting those crab apples and all that, and yes. I used to be, listen, what? Yes, I do.
What? See, you didn't even know, man. We could have came by and played some golf.
You're right.
I'm trying to play some tees. Yeah, man. But it's been so good talking to you. I'm so serious. Like, and you know, we're actually in Augusta, Georgia. So we're like, you know, about an hour and a half. When you've been in Augusta, you know, you actually, so you know where it's at. So anytime.
Well, next time I'm out there and I got to show you, just all you got to do is hit me and you got to come out and hang out. I'm looking forward to it. That's super dope.
Yes, we would love to come out and hang out, man. Cause yeah, you gotta come through or we got to see you. And I might just ask you to drop a hot 16.
I got them. Cause I, you know, I've been writing for other rappers too, like, which is crazy. Like there's some female rappers that are coming out and I've had to write and co-produce for them. So it's kind of fun. I get to still tap into certain things. So it's been cool. But yeah, when I come out to Augusta, we're gonna hang out. I promise.
Oh, okay, I'm holding you to that promise now. I'm holding you to it now. Yes, let's do it. So yeah, like, is there anybody you want to give like a shout out to or anything, you know, before we wrap everything up?
You know, just everybody that's watching and supporting, you know, the Boom Bap Hour, that means a lot, you know what I'm saying? So just keep on watching because this is just the beginning. There's going to be a bunch of other people on here way bigger than me being interviewed. And then it's just going to keep growing. So I'm just looking forward to that, being able to say, listen, I was on there before. I was on there. So yeah.
Thank you. This means a lot. Definitely. Well, this conversation, well, I'm calling the interviews, conversation means a lot to me. So
thank you
so much for, you know, it really is, even though like I've grown up with you, it's still definitely an honor still, you know, for sure.
I'm honored. So thank you.
Yes, for sure. Well, it's been so real. Are you watching the Verses tonight?
You know what? I am going to watch it. Yeah, I got to. I think I'm going for Big Daddy Kane.
Of course, I'm going to watch it. Daddy Kane? Oh Lord!
I got to. Big Daddy Kane was a lyricist. Big Daddy, you know, he wrote for a lot of people that people ain't gonna realize. Like a lot of artists, he gonna play records, and you're gonna be like, "Wait, what?" People don't realize. Like he was the influence for Jay-Z. He was a slick talker. Everybody looked at him as a ladies' man, but he was a battle rapper first. Now I understand, you know, BDP and all that. It was more about the message. I compare this to a Biggie and Tupac battle. Pac was about the passion and the message, but that slick talk and them lyrics with the double entendres and all that flyness, that was Big. That's Kane.
All day long.
That's Kane. Yeah. Kane was the, watch, when you're going to see, when they get to like, what is that record called with Marley Marl, with that group record, the Posse record, with all them, the symphony, when you get to them, all that stuff, it's going to be a wrap.
It's going to be a wrap.
Kane going to play some records, you're going to be like, you know, they're going to get to the bridges over and criminal minded and all that. But then after that, after a while, you're going to get tired of learning. And I love KRS-One. You'll get tired of learning and you're going to want to just feel good and have that good time. And them up tempos and that real fly lyric stuff, it's going to be Kane. You're going to be like, you know, it's going to be some records that come on and you're going to be like, you might as well get your skates. You might as well get your skates on in your kitchen and go out in the driveway and boom, because I promise you, Kane gonna surprise y'all.
I hope he brings his backup dancers. That's all I want. I want him to bring his backup dancers for him.
I wonder if they got flat tops still. I wonder if they still got their flat tops. That'll be dope, right?
That would be dope if they did. I'm trying to tell you, yes. So, RL, it's been so real and such great experience talking to you. And is there anything else as far as like where we, of course, your social media and website, anything that you want people to know to find out all your new stuff?
No, I just want them to know that you can find me wherever. All you gotta do is hit me. You got my number. You can text me or however you want to hit me. You already know. Whenever you need me, I'm there. It's all about you. You know what I'm saying? And I want to tell you, I'm honored that you had me on. This has been the highlight of my week, or my month, really. And I thank you for allowing me to come on and chop it up with you for real.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I look forward to us hanging out with you in person, straight up.
I can't wait. I promise you now. I'm saying it here. I promise. So be ready.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be ready. We all going to be ready. I'm serious for sure. So, yes, it is RL on the Boom Bap Hour. Y'all don't go anywhere. Keep it locked.